From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Michelle Norris. When terrorists struck the World Trade Center and the Pentagon just over 2 years ago, sympathy and outrage poured out from around the globe. And there was great understanding, especially from Europe, when Washington declared its war on terrorism. But many recent opinion polls show that the image of America as a victim has been replaced with that of a bully. To its longtime European allies, the United States has become an imperial power bent on using its military muscle preemptively.
Today we begin a series of reports, America seen through European eyes, and we start with Germany. Chancellor Gerhard Schroeder has emerged as a strong critic of the United States. That would have been unthinkable during the Cold War, when West Germany was strategically dependent on the U.S., Now, anger over the war in Iraq has weakened the historically strong ties between Washington and Berlin. As NPR's Sylvia Pajoli reports, there's a growing mistrust in Germany of the country that has long been its ally.
Bad Segeberg is a lake resort an hour's drive south of Hamburg. It's best known for its 8,000-seat open-air theater, originally built during the 40s for Nazi rallies. After the war, Teutonic folklore was considered tainted by the Third Reich and therefore off-limits. So city authorities turned the Bad Segeberg Arena into a shrine for the German cult of Der Wild West.
And it burns, burns, burns. The ring burns.
Tonight's crowd, an equal number of adults and children, have come to see a play. The spectators are rapt as they follow the story of an Apache brave named Winnetou who comes to the rescue of his cowboy friend. When it comes to German fascination with the mythology of America, it's the Native American who captures the imagination. Many in the audience have painted faces and are wearing headbands with feathers. One of them is Andreas, a youth counselor who has brought 12 children to see the play. He says that identifying with Native Americans is a way to take a stand against what he calls America's unresolved past.
It
has to do with compassion and empathy with those who were killed by the white man. I really blame Americans for killing nearly all the Indians who were there first. It also has to do with the Holocaust in Germany. Americans often blame us for our recent history. They point their fingers at us Germans without realizing what they did to the Indians.
Such a critical and confrontational tone is a new post-Cold War phenomenon. Following Germany's defeat in World War II and its partition, West Germany became a virtual American protectorate. The purpose of the American occupation was to create a Western democracy, a pro-American democracy that was essentially a replica of the United States. Close relations and dependency were cemented by the Berlin airlift. In 1948, Soviet troops sealed off the city, and for nearly a year, Berlin was supplied exclusively from the air by Allied planes, bringing in coal, food, and machinery. 14 years after the fall of the Berlin Wall, Germany's relationship with its former protector is the topic of a special John F. Kennedy exhibition at Berlin's German Historical Museum.
2,000 years ago, the proudest boast was Kiwis.
For months, large crowds of visitors have been lining up to watch a grainy black-and-white film that captures one of the iconic events of the Cold War.
The proudest boast is, Ich bin ein Berliner.
At the show's opening in June, German Foreign Minister Joschka Fischer said, the transatlantic partnership is more important than ever. Unintended irony, perhaps, since relations between Berlin and Washington were at their worst in decades. Anti-war German demonstrators had carried banners with the words, Bush, you are not a Berliner. Carsten Vogt is the man in charge of U.S.-German relations at the Foreign Ministry. He says the Bush administration's pressure on Germany to take part in the Iraq War undermined those non-aggressive principles the United States had fostered in post-Nazi Germany.
Now, quite of a sudden, some people are saying to us, if you stick to that position, you are not part of the solution of a problem, you are part of the problem. So they said we should change our policy, our culture, our values. which we got from the U.S. and which everybody wanted for us for 50 years.
Falk says that Germany has overcome its Cold War angst of being attacked and now is looking inward.
Germany is now increasingly moving in a direction where pursuit of happiness is on the top of the agenda. For the first time, Germany is surrounded by countries who are friends, or at least give the impression as if they're friends. This is the most happy situation in which we ever have been since centuries.
Dankeschön! This is the big show.
Gail Tofts is the new Sally Bowles, a Yank who's brought cabaret back to Berlin.
It's the big show, yes, the big show, and endlich ist es doch so weit.
She delights German audiences with her invention, a hybrid Deutsch-English lingo she calls Dinglish. A Berliner by adoption, she says America is no longer calling all the shots.
It's not the only game in town.
And she believes Germany won't be treated like a teenage kid.
The kid is in college now. The kid is a young adult and maybe has a mind of its own. Not in a bratty kind of a way, but in saying, hey, listen, I've read a few things, I have an opinion of my own now, and I'm allowed to have an opinion of my own.
As Germany begins to sever its umbilical cord with the U.S., it's trying to forge a new identity out of its two long-divided halves. While the American way of life shaped West German society, it was painted as the number one enemy on the communist eastern side of the Berlin Wall. The German Democratic Republic was laid to rest more than a decade ago, but its anthem still stirs emotions among some Aussies, those raised in communist East Germany. Hagen Koch is 63 years old. He's the man who in 1961 literally painted the white line around Berlin, where the dividing wall was to be built. He still lives in a communist-era apartment block stuffed with maps, photos, and other archives. Koch is the self-appointed curator of the legacy of the Berlin Wall. He tells us how a distorted view of America was implanted in East German minds.
There was this summer when there were a huge amount of potato beetles destroying the harvest.
Koch says children were taken out of school and sent to potato fields to remove the bugs. It was at the time of the airlift when U.S. planes were often flying overhead on their way to Berlin. East German propaganda exploited the coincidence and turned it into an American plot, Kartoffelkaffer-Aburf, the dumping of potato beetles.
Und Dinge, die gar nichts miteinander zu tun haben.
And these two events, on the one hand, a blight of these insects, and on the other, the airlift, were linked by the communists in order to brainwash the children. Their aim was to create fear and loathing of the enemy, which was the United States.
East Germans like Koch, who was indoctrinated to hate America, have been overwhelmed by the recent westernization of their society. But even younger Easterners feel displaced. Freelance journalist Silke Schumann says she's still trying to adapt to what she calls the West German elbow society.
By elbow society, I mean that you have to push other people away to make your way. You have to show self-confidence. And this wasn't so in East Germany. It was the contrary. You had to be a group member who fit in, and then you were allowed to progress. Of course, I do think that the American way of life did shape West Germany. It influenced the people who lived there.
Many East Germans are now questioning the cost of freedom, both emotional and practical, that has come with reunification. TV shows and movies reflect a new wave of nostalgia for the East. Goodbye Lenin has been a box office success for months. The movie satire tells the story of a hardline communist woman who in November 1989 has a heart attack and falls into a coma. When she wakes up 8 months later, the wall has fallen, capitalism has triumphed, and East and West are on the path to reunification. But her son believes this turn of events would be too devastating for her. So he undertakes an elaborate subterfuge to recreate the socialist world. He has to find disappearing East German groceries, such as Spreewald pickles. He shoots fake newscasts and pays children to sing kitsch socialist tunes. Outside the theater, we talk to Reinhold. A man in his 40s, he has come to Goodbye Lenin for a second time with his 14-year-old daughter. He says the movie has revealed to West Germans that real people lived in the East, each with their own personal narratives. It's a step, he says, toward psychological reunification.
There was a certain dimension of Western life which was designed in the U.S., and there was a certain element of East German life that was designed in Moscow. Now we are, things are moving towards each other, moving towards Europe into a common future.
Today, as Germans from West and East try to forge their new identity, many old taboos that solidified in the post-Nazi period are being broken. For the first time, books are being written on German suffering during the war. And 2 years after 9/11, fierce anti-Americanism is now more openly expressed than before. One of several conspiracy-based bestsellers even claims that the American and Israeli intelligence services brought down the World Trade Center. The book was written by a former government minister. And a recent poll in the magazine Der Spiegel showed that 1 in 5 Germans believes the U.S. government was behind the attacks. Joseph Joffe, co-editor of the weekly Die Zeit, says this new animosity toward the United States is rooted in simple fear.
America inflicts itself on the rest of the world. It's forcing people to become more competitive. It's forcing an enormous change on our economy, which makes people very uncomfortable. And so America is this ruthless, relentless engine of modernity.
Even those Germans who do not embrace the new anti-American conspiracy theories are increasingly wary of the United States. Michael Hoenisch is a professor of American studies at Berlin's Freie University. He's among those whose passion for all things American is being tested.
It's a crisis in the love affair, one could say. The feeling of security that was spread by the United States is gradually being replaced by a feeling of being made at least uneasy.
There is a growing concern in Germany that America is less predictable than it was in the past. In fact, it's America's new angst about its own security that Germans find deeply unsettling. Sylvia Poggioli, NPR News.
We continue our series tomorrow with France. There's more on this story at our website, npr.org. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.